Thanks, John. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jeremy, one of the pastors here at Village Church. As Elise was saying, we've been doing a little holiday two-week series, Love of Christ last week, this week, Body of Christ. So we're looking at Romans 12 together. That's going to be my number in the corner of the screen. That's so you can text through any questions, comments, pushback that you have, and hopefully we can come back to that after the final song tonight. But I'm going to pray that God would help us as we come to his word. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that when you save us as individuals, it's not just as individuals, you actually save us all into the body of Christ together. And thank you for the time tonight to reflect on that. As we do, please open our hearts and our minds to see our place in Christ with each other so that we might live that out together. In Jesus' name, amen. Is community actually a good thing? I think we're all taught to say yes to that, right? Community, especially a diverse community, especially diverse Christian community, you've got to say that's good. The Bible says it's good, so we kind of have to, don't we? But what we say about community is often different to how we feel, isn't it? Especially when we try to actually live in community together. So have you ever had this where you're talking to someone at church, maybe dinner, in the hall afterwards, and it just dawns on you, I am so different to this person. Like, I don't know if I'll ever get them. I'm pretty sure they'll never get me. Or have you had this where you join a community group and the other people are kind of like nice enough, but none of them are really your kind of people. Like, none of them you really click with. I see a few people kind of nervously looking around at their other CG members, like, and thinking, Jeremy, that was confidential. Well, how about this? Does it ever feel like church demands way too much of you when you've got stuff in your life to be doing? And yet you see other people at church who seem to be serving far too little. I reckon those experiences is when some extended me time instead of community, it starts to look pretty good, doesn't it? The beauty of Christian community can get lost behind the challenge of Christian community. I reckon the Apostle Paul captured this combo of beauty and challenge at the same time in the image of Christ's body. Romans 12, he says, as we have many parts in one body, like hands, feet, eyes, ears, etc., and all the parts don't have the same function, all different, in the same way we, who are many, all different, are one body in Christ. This is how it works. See, if I'm a Christian, that means I'm actually in Christ. My faith is in him, his spirit is in me, so I'm actually united with Christ, I'm one with Christ. But think about this, if I'm in Christ, and you're in Christ, and everyone else here is in Christ, that means we are all in Christ together, whether we like it or not. See, Christian community isn't something that we get to weigh up and decide if we want it in addition to Christ himself. If you are united to Christ vertically, you are united to other Christians horizontally. You just are. which we are going to see tonight, is beautiful, but it's also challenging. It creates real beauty by uniting together different kinds of people who'd never be together naturally. That is actually beautiful. But it also creates real difficulties, real challenges we wouldn't have otherwise. How does it do that? By uniting different kinds of people who would never be together naturally. And since you can't be a Christian without being in Christian community, this is what we need to work out. We need to work out how do we overcome the challenges of Christian community so that we can see and show the beauty of Christian community, which is what Paul shows us how to do in our reading from Romans 12. Now, Romans 12 isn't the only place Paul uses this image of Christ's body. Other big chapters are like 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. If we were to look at them as well tonight, that would add to the picture. But to be honest, we're not even going to mine all the riches of Romans 12. I'm just going to pull out three implications which Paul draws from us being one body together. These are three things that will mark us if we understand and remember that we're one body. So what we're going to look at tonight for each of these are humility, intimacy, empathy. We're going to see how that actually does flow out of being one body. And at the same time, it overcomes the challenges of being one body, which is pretty handy. It's like a self-fixing thing, if we understand it. You'll see what I mean. So we'll start with humility, because that is the first thing that should flow out of being one body. So verse 3, Paul says, "Don't think of yourself more highly than you should." And then he goes on to explain that we're each different members of Christ's body. That's those verses we saw before. As if being one body is the reason to not think of yourself better than others. Then as one body, verse 10, he says, take the lead, not in getting honor and praise for yourself, but in honoring and praising each other. Humility. Verse 16, don't be proud, but associate with the lowly. That's people you'd never associate with if you're still wise in your own estimation. It seems that if you get that you're one body with everyone else who's in Christ, that's going to give you this humility he's urging us to. But why is that? Why does humility flow out of being one body? It's actually because of the way you're included in Christ's body is grace. And that goes for all of us who are in Christ's body. We're in by grace. You see, though, Paul starts chapter 12 saying, therefore, in view of the mercies of God. So everything Paul says in chapter 12 flows out of what he said in chapters 1 to 11 about God's mercy, God's grace to us in Christ, that we've all rejected the God who gave us life. So we deserve to die. But Christ died for us. And then we just put our faith in him. He puts his spirit in us. Then we're united with Christ. That's why his death counts as our death. That's why his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Because we're united with him. And it's all mercy and grace is the reason why we're in Christ, which then means how could any one of us ever be proud? How could any one of us ever think of ourselves as better than anyone else here? Everyone in Christ needs God's mercy and grace. That's why humility flows from knowing we're one body in Christ by grace. And this humility turns out to be crucial for us to live as in community as Christ's body. How so? Because humility leads us to serve each other without pride and division. It's especially, I reckon, in the West, in Western Christianity, Christian community actually often struggles because Christians keep on pursuing individual dreams. If I'm fixated on my work, my goals, my achievements, it's not going to leave even much time for our life together. But if you get that you're one body in Christ with others, that brings a humility which actually doesn't let you focus on yourself like that. Then you know your life is not your own to serve yourself, make a name for yourself, show everyone how great you are. Your life is actually Christ to take whatever gifts he gives you and use them for the benefit of his body, other Christians. See, that humility creates community life instead of just individual life. At the same time, it also stops pride and division based on how we serve each other. See, as Paul says, we each have different gifts, right? And without humility, if we forget we're all one body in Christ by grace, those different gifts that we have would actually lead to pride. See, like right now I'm being a Bible teacher. That's one of the gifts he says, teaching up there. And I could think, well, I'm the one up the front for longest, so obviously I'm the most important. But then I'm sure a few of you will be thinking, well, hang on, Jeremy, it's actually my generous giving which pays your salary. So it's pretty obvious I'm the most important. But then, you know, everyone who's on the serving team tonight, well, would be like, well, hang on, there wouldn't even be a service at all if we hadn't done all the setup. And elders might be thinking, well, hang on, there'd be no church at all without us leading it. Another of the gifts there. See, obviously, we couldn't have community with pride and division going on like that. But with humility, with the knowledge we're all one body in Christ by grace, those different gifts, we can see they don't make us better or worse than each other. Like hands and feet, we actually just play different roles in the same body. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but hands and feet in the same body don't ever compete with each other over who's better. Now, Paul applies this point here to different gifts. They don't make you better. Galatians 3, Colossians 3 actually applies this point to other differences. Different races, different cultures, different genders, different classes. None of those differences make you any better or worse either when we know we're one body. We'll actually have the humility to serve each other without pride and division. And something I hope will help us do that better is actually a survey I've recently set up. Can I actually ask you all to get out your phone right now? There's the QR code, and scan that. Then you'll be able to look at the form yourself. The text, I realise, on the screen is not very big. So it would be great if you could scan that QR code while we look at this survey. This is a serving survey. Do you like the assonance there? And it's designed to let you communicate how you'd like to serve Christ's body at Village, but also how you might like to serve less. Some of you may be a bit nervous, like, no, we don't need less serving, but don't do that. But you see, there's actually a key question on the first page after like your name and all that stuff. And the key question is, how do you feel about your serving at church at the moment? From need to do less to love to do more. And the point I want to make at the moment is just, it requires gospel humility to answer either way, actually. It does take gospel humility to say, look, I know I've made commitments to serve in this way, serve in that way, but I've got to admit, I'm stretched, I'm beyond my capacity. I've got to admit, I'm only like one part of the body, I'm not the whole body myself. I do need to step back a bit. That takes gospel humility. But it also takes gospel humility to realize, oh, hang on, maybe I have been a bit self-focused. But now that I think about it, I am part of Christ's body. I probably could play my part a bit more. Both of those take gospel humility. If you get through the personal details on that first page and that question to the next page, you'll find roles grouped by our church main areas: community, outreach, transformation, and build. And I just want to, under community there on that first page, I want to take a look at a few ways of serving in this church service that we're having tonight. See, even in just this church service, there are different roles for different gifts. Maybe you're like a more behind the scenes kind of person, in which case, like, set up and pack up might be a really great way for you to serve. But if you're more comfortable up the front, service leading, prayer, Bible reading, there's music, there's sound tech, I really pray quite a few of you discover your God-given gift for sound tech tonight. you can discover that by expressing interest in it and then getting some training, and you find, oh, I actually can do this. Because we do actually only have two guys who are fully trained on that. We have a few others in training, but it would be nice to have more. Same actually goes with kitchen prep and the kitchen cleaning up and washing up. Too much has been done by too few in the kitchen. And the dinner that we have is only possible because of people serving in the kitchen that way. And that dinner is maybe one of the most community-building things that we do in spending time together. So, you know, there's, of course, music, there's coffee, there's lots of different ways that you can serve Christ's body. And why would we do that? So that we can express and enjoy our unity in Christ as a community on a Sunday. As you go through the survey, I don't want you to answer like every line, there's too many. It'd just be good to know how you're serving at the moment, where you need to pull back, and where you might be interested in serving if you're not already. When I told Lucy, my wife, that I was going to do this, she's like, no, don't do that. Don't give them the QR code to look at the survey. They'll just keep doing the survey for the rest of the sermon. They won't hear anything you say. She's a school teacher, so she's like, it's like giving kids toys to play with and telling them to keep listening to you. It's not going to work. I said, no, you guys are too mature for that. That you have the self-control that when I ask you to put that on pause, to maybe switch from the survey over to the Bible app or put your phone away. I really hope that you can do that now, to put that on pause, not just so that Lucy's wrong and I'm right, but so that we can hear more of God's word together now. But I would ask you to finish filling out that survey after the service or at home, because it should help us to humbly serve each other as different parts of Christ's body. And if we do that, then over time, we should build up intimacy, which is the second thing which should flow out of being one body together. Over time, we should develop true, deep love as family, Paul says, which I know might sound strange to you. I mean, if I asked you, what kind of relationship gives you real intimacy? I bet most of us would say, well, that's a romantic relationship, right? In our culture, the phrase, you know, to share your life with someone, what kind of relationship is that? That's always a romantic relationship. And an implication of that is that, well, then if you're single, you can never have deep love and intimacy. But Paul says we should have deep love and intimacy as brothers and sisters in Christ. Actually, in Ephesians 5, he says it even stronger. He's talking about the intimate one-body union of husband and wife, and he says, actually, from the beginning, that was actually designed as a pointer to something else. To what? To the intimate one-body union of Christ and the church. To our one-body relationship with Christ as the church. Now, this intimacy is both challenging and beautiful at the same time. Let's start with how it's challenging. Paul says, if we really love each other, like it's not kind of hypocrisy, pretend kind of love, then we're actually going to work hard at helping each other become the best version of ourselves, which, as Romans 8 tells us, means becoming more and more like Christ himself. And this is why it has to be real love that does this. See, it's easy to say you love someone and not mean it and just leave them as messed up as you find them now without any help to change. But if you really love someone like family, like your one body with them, in love you'll actually do the hard work of helping them root out what is evil in their life, while at the same time holding on to what is good. And that process can, of course, be hard for both people involved. You'll notice that other groups of people don't try to do this for each other. Like if you join a birdwatching club. I imagine in a birdwatching club, people might help each other in some ways, like, oh, there's birds over there. Or, no, the binoculars go this way around. I don't know, that's the kind of thing I imagine they'd say. But how would you react? You join a bird watching club and in the midst of talking about birds and binoculars, someone says, oh yeah, I'm sorry to say this, but that guy you're dating, he's no good for you. You'd be like, I'm sorry, what's that got to do with you? Can we please focus on the birds? Or if you join a CrossFit gym, well, I don't know, maybe in a CrossFit gym, different trainees help each other get better at pull-ups and stuff. But how do you react if one of your fellow trainees says, oh, I just heard you're actually planning a second overseas holiday this year? Do we need to have a chat about your spending? You'd be like, no, we don't. We can leave my private life out of this. What's that got to do with you? Let's get back to pull-ups. But as Christians, what's that got to do with you is not really something we can say to each other. Like, husbands and wives don't really have parts of their life that are off limits to each other. If we're one body in Christ, there aren't really parts of our lives that are off limits to each other. Because we're one body together, we can't say, hey, what's that got to do with you? Just an analogy. Imagine a foot covered with ants. The right hand plausibly might try to sweep away the ants off the foot. The foot can't say, hey, back off, hand. This is none of your business. What's it got to do with you? Of course it's the hand's business. They're part of the same body. So, assuming you've spent enough time as brothers and sisters in Christ, if your brother or sister says to you, hey, I really actually don't think you should be dating that guy. I think he's actually leading you away from Christ, not closer to Christ. Whether or not their opinion in that case is right, what is absolutely right is their loving concern for the whole of your life. Or if your brother or sister says to you, hey, I am a bit worried that you are spending too much money on yourself. Whether or not that opinion is right in that case, what is absolutely right is their loving concern for the whole of your life. Which is pretty challenging, isn't it? Maybe you're thinking life would be much easier without this kind of intimacy. So what is the upside? The upside is, given enough time, you really do have brothers and sisters in Christ you can share anything with. As a point of contrast, don't try that at the birdwatching club. Like, don't be like, ah, look, I know we're focused on the birds, but can I share something personal? I just keep falling for the wrong kind of guy. I don't know what it is. Do you think maybe I need to find my validation more in Christ? The rest of the bird club is going to be like, we need to watch birds over here now. But your brothers and sisters in Christ, you can share that with. See, the challenge is there's no part of life off limits. But the beauty is there's no part of life off limits. Given enough time to develop this family depth of love. You notice in verse 13, Paul says, pursue hospitality. Kind of implies that this intimacy isn't instant. It's going to need to be fostered over time by sharing our homes, sharing meals. But once we develop this intimacy, there is actually nothing that we can't share with each other as brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. Nothing that your brother or sister in Christ can say to you, hey, what's that got to do with me? Well, it's got everything to do with them because they're one body with you. As brothers and sisters, we can share all of life, the good and the bad. And as we share all of life together, we'll share feelings too. We'll actually develop deep empathy for each other. That's the third thing that flows out of being one body. If we're one body with each other, then your joy is my joy, your pain is my pain, which again is challenging, especially if we can't contrast it with the Buddhist view. See, in Buddhism, the goal is to escape from suffering Actually, by extinguishing self, to realize that self is an illusion that causes suffering, and that when you realize that, when you achieve enlightenment, then when you die, you won't be reincarnated to live again and therefore suffer again. Instead, it's more like you're snuffed out like a candle, which does end life, love, joy, but also, crucially, ends suffering. In contrast, in Christ, you become one body with so many other people. It's the opposite of extinguishing self. It's more like expansion of self to include other people. So like not a candle snuffed out, but more like many candles melted together into one. Their joy is your joy, but really bad from a Buddhist perspective, their pain is your pain. Like you still have yours, but now you have theirs too. And that is challenging. So how on earth is this good? Last year we did a village academy on mental health. Several villagers shared their experiences, including one woman who suffers depression. She talked us through a lot of the treatments that she'd had. Most of the medications actually made things worse, not better. That was her experience. And actually, Christian friends often made things worse by expecting her to be fixed. And she had to be like, I'd like to be fixed too. But she did say that one thing really helped. When people just sat with her in her pain, cried with her, cried out to God, not just asking for her to be healed, but just expressing her pain for her. In other words, when people weep with those who weep, as Paul put it, just by sharing people's pain, it can sometimes ease people's pain because they know they aren't suffering alone, that they're actually suffering as part of Christ's united body. It will to do that with people. But we follow the Christ who suffered for us. Sharing another person's suffering, isn't that just what members of Christ's body will do for each other? Of course, you can't share people's suffering without limit, which is why it's good you also get to share people's joy. Actually, if you think about it, you can't share people's joy unless you have that humility we were talking about before. Without that humility, you actually don't see other Christians as part of you, but as competitors. And you start to think things like, why did they get success? That should be me. Or why did they find a partner? Not me. Why did they get that praise? Not me. Forgetting that in Christ together, they are part of you. But once you get that, then their joy really can be your joy. And that expanded joy of being in Christ's body, that can actually recharge you for sharing the expanded suffering of being in Christ's body. I know you're probably left with lots of questions, kind of like, what about this issue? What do I do in that scenario? I left those questions unanswered. That was deliberate on my part, because we've got a village academy coming up on precisely this topic. Ross and Robin are coordinating that with Philip. I'm actually not doing much of it this time, which makes me very happy to say that this Village Academy will answer everything. If it doesn't take Robin and Philip. No, it won't answer everything, but it will be a chance to go deeper on the theory and practice of Christian community. And we need to do that. If you think about it, even families and couples often struggle with relationships, so why wouldn't we? A friend of mine told me the other day about giving his dad a lift, and that time alone together made him realize that his dad just doesn't know how to have a conversation with him, which was really sad for my friend to realize that. Couples often need coaching by a relationship counselor just on how to talk to each other in a way that they actually understand each other. So if people with shared family background and people who actually chose to get married can struggle with relationship and conversation, we shouldn't be surprised that we do and that we can use some help with that, even as Christ's family and Christ's body. Like a friend of mine told me once in his community group, someone shared something really heavy and the rest of the group just went silent for a long time, just actually because they didn't know what to say. Not because they didn't love this person, just they didn't know what the next step in that conversation is. We can struggle, but we can also learn, and this Village Academy is a chance to do so together as Christ's body. And it is worth doing that, because if you are in Christ, you are one body with everyone else who's in Christ. And that Christian community, and though it isn't easy, it takes humility, intimacy, empathy, and those things are challenging in themselves. Yet in the gospel, the good news that we are all saved in Christ by grace, we actually have the resources to overcome those challenges. And when we do, the Christian community which is put on display is truly beautiful. I'm going to pray that we can learn to bring that out together. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for saving us each as individuals from our sin against you. And then you didn't just save us as individuals, you saved us into Christ's family, Christ's body. We are saved together. Father, we should thank you for each other. And yet, Father, you know the challenges that come in us coming together as sinners, as just different cultures, different stages of life, different backgrounds, different interests. Father, I pray that we would understand ourselves as one body in Christ. That would give us humility, intimacy, and empathy. That would bind us together as a community which could not exist otherwise. And that would show the world what a great thing you have done in this communal salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.